Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. We are currently going through the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. Last week, we talked about David, and we're going to talk again this week about Jonathan and David, about their relationship together and some examples that we can learn from those two young men. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. If we think about the command that was given unto us, you know, the Torah tells us to love our neighbors. And scripture even goes on to tell us to love our neighbor as ourselves. So as we see here in this scripture, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. So he loved David as he loved himself. So there was a righteous love that we see here between Jonathan and David. So as we go through this week's teaching, we're going to see what that actually looked like, what it meant for one to love another as his own soul. And if we think about these two young men, this would be probably the last example that we would expect to see this in Scripture. Because at this point, David has already been anointed to be the next king of Israel. So he is the one who is now actually going to take Jonathan's spot on the throne. But yet Jonathan does not have any kind of envy or jealousy or bitterness towards David, but instead we see he loves David. So there's something about Jonathan and David that caused their souls to be knitted together. Now, we see Jonathan himself. I mean, we read the stories of how David would kill the Philistines, and we also have the example of the one time of Jonathan doing as well. Maybe that was a thing. Maybe this courageousness, as they both had, and this willingness to go after the Philistines. But when we just think about the idea, the concept that Jonathan lost his spot as the next king of Israel, and it wasn't because of anything that he himself did. It was because of the sin of his father. But yet, he loved David, the person who was taking his spot, as his own soul. So let's look at verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. This is speaking of David. So we see here with David, is so Saul takes David from his father's house and he begins to put David in charge of things in his reign. Now this, I believe, is set up by God himself because he is getting David ready, used to being around that setting of the king and what's going on in the king's house so that he would be ready. And so Saul begins to give assignments unto David. So David was obedient, you could say he was dutiful, unto Saul before he ever becomes king. So before he ever actually reigns on the throne of Israel, he first learned what it was like to be obedient unto the king. So this, we see, is more character development. We talked last week about how David was chosen to be the next king because he had a heart after God, and how he did that what was right while he was out in the field tending to the sheep. He had integrity. He did what was right when nobody was looking. He proved himself to be righteous when nobody was looking, even in the small things. So now he's being put underneath Saul in his house, and he's being given assignments, and he is learning even more, and he's being trusted with more. With more greater things than when he was alone in the field with the sheep. But he is even having to show himself faithful here before he even becomes king. If we want to lead, And if we want to be somebody who does something for Yahweh's kingdom, we must first learn what it's like to be submitted to someone else's leadership and to listen to somebody else and to be trained and to be taught and to be molded. Now, that needs to be done by the right person, and we need to have discernment in that regard when it comes to that. But there is something, and we see it in Scripture, where people had time to where they were developed into the man that God needed them to be to do the purpose that he gave them to do. I mean, we even see it in the story of Joseph. Joseph was built into the man to ultimately lead Egypt by the trials that he went through before being selected by Pharaoh to lead Egypt through the famine. Okay, so now let's look at verse 3. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war, and this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. So here we see in verse 4, not only has David going to take Jonathan's spot, but we see Jonathan here is at the spot where he is taking off his garments as the king's son and his weapons, and he is giving them to David. So we see the bond that he has with David. We see no jealousy. We see no envy in Jonathan whatsoever. He just gives David this stuff upon David being brought into Saul's house to do the purpose ultimately that God had for him. But he's fulfilling Saul's purpose at this moment in time, and the fact that he was set over the men of war, okay? And it's interesting, in this process, we see that what he did was good in the eyes of the people. So he had favor with the people, and he had favor in the eyes of Saul's servants. Very similar to Joseph. Remember, when Joseph was sent to Potiphar's house and then into the prison, he served faithfully. And he had favor with every one of his masters because he served faithfully. So David served faithfully underneath Saul. He was patient and waited his time and did what was told for him to do at that moment in time. Upon being anointed king, David does not go out and try to force himself to be king the next day. Instead, David is very humble, he is patient, and he waits for the right time when God is ready to promote him as king. And as he's going and waiting, he is faithfully going through the process of what he is being called to do so that God can make him the man, ultimately the king, that he wants and desires for David to be. Now let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 1. Then David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my guilt and what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" So at this point, Saul has become jealous of David because of, remember, the songs that they were singing, right? And so Saul becomes jealous of David. Now he starts to go after David and is trying to kill David. So this is David coming before Jonathan. "What have I done? What is my guilt that your father seeks my life?" So let's look at verse 2. And he, Jonathan, said to him, Far from it, you shall not die. Behold, my Father does nothing, either great or small, without disclosing it to me. And why should my Father hide this from me? It is not so. So Jonathan doesn't believe that Saul is trying to kill him because his dad hasn't said anything to him. And he's like, my father tells me everything. He doesn't do anything without first telling me about it, whether or not it's a great or a small thing. Why would he hide such a matter from this? Now, Saul probably knows how close Jonathan and David are, so that would be the reason why he would not tell him. Let's look at verse 3. But David vowed again, saying, your father knows well that I have found favor in your eyes, and he thinks, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as Yahweh lives, as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. This is an interesting verse. For he thinks, do not let Jonathan know, lest he be grieved. So you would think, Saul is angry, he's jealous over David, over the situation, about the songs that they were singing. David's going to be the next king. It's not going to be Jonathan, okay? If any of the two would be angry, you would think it would be Jonathan, not Saul, but Saul seems to take the jealousy and the anger more than Jonathan. And Saul is even hiding it from his son because he says, I don't want my son to be grieved over the fact that I'm trying to kill his friend, even though in the natural eyes, you would think it would benefit Jonathan because if David was gone, then maybe Jonathan could be king. But that wouldn't be what God would have done anyway because of the sin of Saul. But we just see the difference here between Jonathan and Saul. Jonathan, to me, does not appear to have been the same man as his father was. He seems to be different than his father. Let's look at verse 4. Then Jonathan said to David, whatever you say, I will do for you. David said to Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit at table with the king. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field till the third day at evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me to run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the clan. If he says, good, it will be well with your servant. But if he is angry, then know that harm is determined by him. So now David sets up a plan with Jonathan, so Jonathan can test the waters to see, is Saul, is my dad really angry with David? Is David right? Does he have a reason to fear for his life? Because as David serving Saul, there was a bit of an obligation for him to be at the king's table for the new moon celebration. Remember, Saul has taken David away from David's father and has basically brought David into his own household and is serving him. So he, at this moment in time, is probably at every single feast at the king's table when it comes to the new moon. So David not being there would be out of the ordinary. It would be something different. Saul would expect David to be there. So he's like, so let's see, this is what David's saying. Let's see how your father reacts to me not being there. Now remember, this is Jonathan, who is working with David to protect David, the person who is taking his spot as the next king. So let's look at verse 8. Therefore, deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of Yahweh with you. But if there is guilt in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father? And Jonathan said, far be it from you. If I knew that it was determined by my father that harm should come to you, would I not tell you? So Jonathan's saying, if I knew my father wanted to harm you, I would tell you. Even though in the natural, it would seem to benefit Jonathan for his dad to harm David. But yet Jonathan loved David so much that there was no envy, there was no jealousy over what was bestowed upon David and what David was getting. And even in that, Jonathan still had a desire to protect David. If my father was going to harm you, I would come and tell you. So we see he's showing kindness towards David in that regard. So now let's look at verse 10. Then David said to Jonathan, "Who will tell me if your father answers you roughly?" And Jonathan said to David, "Come, let us go into the field." So they both went out into the field. So now Jonathan is going to come up with a plan himself to communicate unto David if his father truly intends to harm him. We see the trust that is between these two individuals. David is having to trust Jonathan, and that Jonathan is being truthful and honest with him and is showing him true kindness in this situation. Because if he betrays him, if Jonathan betrays David, it could mean harm unto David. So we see the trust that these two had in this covenant that they entered into with each other. This is what it means to love another as yourself. To be able to be in a situation like these two men are. To be able to be in a covenant relationship with another person and to have that trust that they have with each other, that the other one is not going to betray them or bring harm unto them, but instead is going to show kindness unto them, is going to protect them, is looking out for their well-being as they would want somebody to look after their well-being. So let's look at verse 16 here. And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May Yahweh take vengeance on David's enemies." And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So he basically takes David out and he comes up with the plan that if he shoots the arrow and he yells to the lad, "The arrow's farther, keep running," then David would know that Saul meant harm for him. And of course, that's ultimately what happened. Saul gets angry that David does not show up to the feast. And Jonathan sees that indeed Saul intends to do harm unto David. So Jonathan goes out in the field and does as he planned to do and alerts David that his father does intend to do harm for him. And so as we see in this verse here again, Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So we see how they loved each other as their own soul again as they enter into this covenant with each other. Two men very likely not to have that type of relationship, but yet we see it in Scripture. That is where we as believers can learn. How often do we look at somebody and we're envious of what they have? We covet what they have. We're jealous of what they have or where they're at or what they're doing instead of having a love for that person. Jonathan didn't allow envy to get in the way because envy will prevent you from loving somebody. Jealousy, covetousness will prevent you from loving somebody. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. And we think about the story of Jonathan and David and how Jonathan, think about what you would feel about a person who is taking something that you think should be yours, that you've lost, not even because of something you did, but something your father did. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not exist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So we think about Jonathan. Verse 4 said, love is patient and kind. We see he showed kindness unto David. It says, love does not envy or boast or is arrogant. We see clearly in the story that Jonathan does not envy David. He's not boastful or arrogant towards David. He's not resentful towards David, as we see in the next verse. Love is not resentful. It bears all things. So he bore David's burden with his father. He showed kindness to his father in that situation. He bore the situation that was going on in that situation and helped David through that situation. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If then you have been raised with Messiah, seek the things that are above, where Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. You could say Jonathan definitely was not thinking earthly, but was thinking heavenly. And the fact that he did not allow himself to become envious over David being the next king. His mind was not set upon the earthly matter. It was set on that which was above. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. For Messiah, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So here Paul is telling us, think upon that which is heavenly, not upon that which is earth. So put to death sexual immorality, impurity, anything that is impure. What is impure? That which does not line up with the Torah of Yahweh. Put to death the earthly passions, the evil desires, and covetousness. Do not covet what your brother has, which is idolatry. Okay? On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And this you too once walked when you were living in them. So we once walked as the world walked. Now that we are born again in Yeshua, we have been called to put those things to death. So now we're called to walk in love, and love towards our brother. And we see that in Jonathan, okay? So let's keep reading here. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So when we're talking about loving one another and being in covenant with one another, we're putting away anger and wrath, slander, lying to one another. We're putting those things aside. Because why would we do those things? How are you going to have trust in a relationship? How are you going to have a relationship where you know that you can rely on each other as Jonathan and David relied upon each other? Why was David able to rely upon Jonathan? Why did he know he could trust Jonathan? Because Jonathan didn't treat him in anger and malice and wrath and envy and didn't lie to him. So he knew he could trust David in that regard. Verse 11, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Messiah is all in all. So this is where I'm getting to. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. If you were to ask me, Jonathan walked in all those things, and we see that in Jonathan's relationship with David. He walked with a compassionate heart towards David. He showed him kindness. He showed humility, meekness, and patience in his relationship with David. Verse 13, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I believe if we want to have a relationship like Jonathan and David did, we need to learn what it means to walk, as it talks about in verse 12 and 13 here. We need to know what it means to be holy and beloved by God. We are God's chosen ones. He has chosen us. If we can learn to see that we are chosen by Him, so no matter what purpose we're doing here on this earth, no matter what He has called us to, whether if it's smaller than something somebody else is doing, we're chosen by Him to do what He has called us to do. And we need to be focused upon the fact that we are chosen by Him. He has set us apart, and we're set apart by walking according to His Torah. His Torah is set apart. So He has separated us from the world, and He has called us to walk in His righteousness. And we are beloved. We are His chosen, treasured people. No matter if what you're doing seems more insignificant than the next person, you are still His beloved, and that person is not loved any more than you. And I think Jonathan understood that concept and that fact. He knew that he was loved by God, and just because the throne was ripped from him and given to David didn't change the fact that he was still loved by God. So if we could learn that, maybe that can help us to not be envious and jealous over what somebody else has. And then if we could learn to have compassionate hearts, Jonathan showed compassion unto David and helping him flee from the wrath of his father. He showed him kindness. If we could learn to show kindness unto our brothers, to be patient with them, to be long-suffering, instead of being quick-tempered, malice, and envy, and anger. Humility and meekness. If we could learn to not see ourselves as more important than our brother, but maybe to esteem our brother as more important than us. Maybe to learn to esteem their desires or their needs as more important than our own. And lastly, bearing with one another or forgiving one another. Sometimes that's the hardest one to do. But if we want to be forgiven, because we all need to be forgiven, we all have messed up and we will all mess up again. We will all need to be forgiven by our Lord and by Yeshua. So if we want to be forgiven, we need to learn to forgive others when they wrong us. And as the last verse says, above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. David and Jonathan, souls were knitted together because they had a love for each other. If we could learn that righteous love of what it means to walk in humility and meekness and patience and kindness towards one another, we can have that perfect harmony amongst ourselves as well. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you this week. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.